It's 5:30. I'm Nora Flaherty, and you're listening to MPBN Radio. Ahead on Main Things Considered this evening, no charges against a former Biddeford police officer accused of sexually abusing a teenage boy. Time's running out for a people's veto on welfare benefits for asylum seekers, and a sailing schooner transports Maine-grown food to Boston. First, this news. I'm Nora Flaherty with this Maine news. The University of Southern Maine's new president, Glenn Cummings, says that improving fall enrollment figures mean the school anticipates no layoffs this year. Cummings says that in just 1 month, the projected enrollment deficit has been cut in half, something he says is due to hard work by the enrollment office.
We have a third piece of good news. We have begun a transformational commitment to figuring out how we make our retention in improvement of our overall completion rates better.
Cummings made the announcement today during his first major address to the university community. USM's been hit hard in recent years by budget shortfalls, program and faculty cuts, and widespread low morale. Cummings says while his message is one of optimism, a great deal of hard work still needs to be done to get USM where it needs to be. Police say emergency workers have recovered the body of a pilot whose plane crashed into a man-made pond in the northern Maine town of Holton. State Police spokesman Steve McCausland says the plane was expected to land at a local airport on its way from Labrador to Florida. It appears to have come in too low and clipped some trees. Officials say visibility was very poor. Authorities decided to drain the small pond in order to recover the plane and the pilot. Police are not releasing the identity of the plane's owner or the pilot until family's been notified. And Mainers who plan to purchase insurance on the Affordable Care Act's online marketplace can now look at the final rates for 2016. Emily Brostick of Consumers for Affordable Health Care says the plans have modest increases and there are some new options with insurance company Aetna entering the marketplace in Maine.
When you look across the board and you look at historically what we've seen for rate increases, it's a good sign that as we get more experience with the health insurance marketplace and the Affordable Care Act, that we're seeing these rates, you know, stay fairly low.
Rustic says in individual marketplace plans, rates increase as participants age each year. And in weather tonight, showers ending in the north and west for clear skies statewide. Low temperatures in the high 40s to high 50s north to south. Tomorrow sunny except for a few clouds in the north with highs in the mid 70s to low 80s inland, a little bit cooler along the coast. And on Saturday becoming partly cloudy in the north and west. Otherwise, mostly sunny, with highs in the high 70s to mid-80s north-south, a little bit cooler, once again, along the coast. This is MPBN. It's 25 minutes before 6. This is Maine Things Considered on MPBN Radio. I'm Nora Flaherty. The Maine Attorney General's office has decided not to file criminal charges against a former Biddeford police officer accused of sexually abusing former city resident Matt Lozen when he was a teenager. The decision comes after months of public turmoil in Biddeford as other alleged victims of abuse have stepped forward and called for the city council to take action against the police department. As Patty White reports, it may be case closed for the attorney general, but the issue appears to be far from over for many others.
The abuse allegations go back to the 90s when Matt Lozen was a teenager living in Biddeford. Lozen alleges that former Biddeford police officer Stephen Dodd sexually abused him, as well as Biddeford resident Michael McCone. Lozen didn't report the alleged abuse until October of last year, and Biddeford police handed the case to the Maine Attorney General's office. On Wednesday, Attorney General Janet Mills said in a statement that, quote, "There is insufficient evidence to prove the elements of a crime beyond a reasonable doubt, including the element of Mr. Lozen's age at the time of the alleged encounters."
Still continue to be very disappointed in the decision that was made.
Walter McKee is an attorney for Matt Lozen.
But it recognized that they're dealing with a criminal process, a criminal statute, and a criminal burden of proof. And that's very different from what we'll be doing in filing in our civil lawsuit before the end of the year.
Biddeford Mayor Alan Cassavant says he had hoped the Attorney General's office would provide more information about its investigation.
Because I think the people of Biddeford are hungry for information, and I know the council and myself are hungry for information because this has been so divisive for all of us over the last few months.
Matt Lozen brought his allegations of sexual abuse into the public spotlight earlier this year when he started posting about them on social media. Other alleged abuse victims also came forward, and some called on the Biddeford City Council to put Police Chief Roger Beaupre on administrative leave. Beaupre was in charge at the time the alleged abuse took place. Lauzon became increasingly vocal, both online and at city council meetings, sometimes accusing city officials of having sexual relationships with one another. A meeting on August 10th adjourned after 20 minutes due to Lauzon's repeated outbursts.
Excuse me.
Point of order in the chamber.
Excuse me. You cannot hijack the meeting. We have work to do. Enough.
Lauzon later apologized on Facebook for his outbursts. Melissa Bednarowski, a former Biddeford City Councilor and president of a new group dedicated to ending sexual abuse called Stand Up For Me, says some Biddeford residents are reeling from Attorney General Janet Mills' decision not to file charges in Lauzon's case.
The response I've received so far is messages of, oh my God, how could this happen? How could she not see? How can another case get thrown?
Bednarowski says she and other supporters still want the city council to put Police Chief Roger Beaupre on administrative leave.
We truly believe that if and when they place the chief of police, Roger Beaupre, on paid administrative leave, that more officers and witnesses and victims will feel comfortable to come forward. And with that new information and with those new witnesses, I believe Janet Mills will find it necessary to reopen the case.
Mayor Alan Cassavant says next Tuesday, councilors will meet and discuss possible next steps, but there's no proof of any wrongdoing by Chief Beaupre.
The attorney general, when I met with her, several months ago, she was very clear and her staff was clear that the Biddeford Police Department and Roger Beaupre did everything that was requested and even went beyond what was requested.
But Matt Lauzon's attorney, Walter McKee, says he'll continue to build a civil case against the police.
And among the claims would be the Biddeford Police Department's deliberate indifference to their own officers engaged in sexual abuse of minors over a long period of time and doing nothing to stop it.
McKee says he expects to file suit by the end of the year on behalf of Lauzon and at least two other alleged victims. For MPBN News, I'm Patty White.
You're listening to Maine Things Considered on MPBN. Still to come, an adventure that's part historical reenactment, part social commentary, and part delivery truck. But first, time is running out for a former Republican lawmaker from Lewiston to undertake his announced people's veto of a law that provides welfare benefits to asylum seekers. Maine Secretary of State Matthew Dunlap says Stavros Mendros has yet to pick up the petitions that must be returned to the state before October 14th with 61,000 signatures in order to suspend the implementation of the law. Meanwhile, the Maine Republican Party is working on a ballot question to address several issues, including welfare. A.J. Higgins has details.
When Governor Paul LePage failed to veto 65 bills that arrived on his desk in the closing weeks of the legislative session, the measures became law without his signature, much to the consternation of some Republicans who wanted a chance to block those same pieces of legislation. Among the measures was a bill that provides general assistance benefits to non-citizens who are in Maine legally seeking asylum. Former State Representative Stavros Mendros has said he will mount a people's veto of LD 369 in order to prevent Lewiston from having to pay out an estimated $165,000 in welfare benefits to asylum-seeking immigrants. Repeated calls to Mendros from MPBN have gone unanswered this week, and Maine Secretary of State Matthew Dunlap says where the people's veto effort currently stands is anyone's guess.
I have not had any direct communication. I know that the Elections Division has reached out to them a couple of times on this.
Dunlap says the petitions for a people's veto are currently sitting on his desk waiting for someone in Mendros's group to pick them up. Mendros told the Lewiston Sun-Journal more than a week ago that he planned to begin gathering the necessary signatures to block the bill from becoming law until voters can decide the issue in a referendum next June. In the absence of receiving those signed petitions by October 14th, the bill will become law, and Maine communities will have to pay general assistance benefits to legal asylum-seeking immigrants while they wait for federally approved work permits. GOP Senator Eric Brakey of Auburn hopes the law can be blocked.
We have adults with intellectual disabilities, and we have our seniors who are underfunded in our nursing homes, and yet we're spending millions of dollars on welfare for non-citizens. It really strikes me as really getting our priorities together. And so I do think that we need to really take a look at that, and I think that people should have a vote.
Brakey's not alone in his position. The Maine Republican Party is developing its own citizens initiative to trigger more far-reaching welfare reform at the ballot box. Jason Savage is the party's executive director.
Yeah, we're very, very close. We're down to just a couple of remaining details that we have to figure out, and then we'll be publicly discussing everything and putting our proposal out there. We're very close right now, though.
Savage says his party has not taken a position on Mendris's people's veto effort, and like Brakey, Savage says he's not trying to discourage Mendros, but he says it wouldn't be wise to have two ballot questions that essentially accomplish the same goal.
It would make the entire process harder for everybody to basically do maybe the same, you know, group of people, a lot of them, be working on both, and it would definitely make it easier if it were streamlined and everybody focused their efforts on the one effort instead of two.
Mendros could choose to suspend his people's veto effort, but if he proceeds, Secretary of State Matt Dunlap says the GOP activists would have to be extremely well organized over the next several weeks.
It would be a record, there's no question about it. I mean, it's absolutely possible, it's doable if you have the right effort and the right organization. But it'd be an extraordinary effort.
The main Republican Party has until February 1st to submit the required petitions to get on next year's ballot. For MPBN News, I'm A.J. Higgins.
And finally today, a 90-year-old twin-masted sailing schooner sailed into Portland Harbor this morning. The Adventure arrived to pick up 3 tons of Maine-grown farm produce and will set off for Boston at first light tomorrow. The project's called Maine Sail Freight, and while it's part historical reenactment, the organizers say they're also out to make a serious point about food systems and regional economies. Tom Porter has more.
5-0!
Shortly before noon, the schooner Adventure chugged into Portland's working waterfront with Captain Stefan Edick at the helm.
Adventure is a 122-foot-long knockabout schooner, which means she has no bowsprit. That was a design innovation from the 1890s.
She was built in Gloucester, Massachusetts in 1926, and Edick says she was the most successful fishing vessel to sail out of that port. Now she's owned and operated as an educational non-profit and listed as a National Historic Landmark.
She's an extraordinary sailing craft. She has an enormous amount of sail area. She is a fast and powerful vessel that's very maneuverable under sail.
The Adventure also has a lot of storage space below decks. Once it was used for cod, but today it's a different cargo.
We have many products from many family farms in Maine.
Severin Fleming is managing the Sail Freight project. She's also director of Greenhorns, an advocacy group that supports America's new generation of young farmers.
How was your sail?
Yeah, it was...
Soon after the Adventure's arrival, Fleming discusses with Edick how best to load up the cargo.
Where is the stuff? And
they're supposed to be here at noon. We're bringing dry beans, maple syrup, pickled beans, pickled fiddleheads, sea salt, seaweed, Maine-grown biscuit mix, and grains. So basically everything non-perishable.
The cargo, worth about $70,000, will be unloaded in Boston Harbor on Sunday. About a third of the goods have already been sold to customers in the area, but the remainder will be transported a few blocks by bicycle to the city's public market. Leah Cook says the idea is to educate people about local food systems and how relevant they are even in a globalized economy. Cook is with Fiddler's Green Farm, which is supplying much of the produce for the project.
I think it's important to be thinking creatively about transport and about provenance, so where our products are coming from and where they're going. It's something that's pretty important to us as Mainers who have multiple businesses producing food.
Meanwhile, at the Portland waterfront, 6,000 pounds of farm goods are stacked up waiting to be loaded onto the schooner Adventure. First mate Bill Burke gives a safety briefing.
Some of these boxes are light, but some of them are heavy. We all have 10 fingers to start. We all want to have 10 fingers to finish, right? Okay. I see some.
Listening attentively, about a dozen volunteer stevedores who have turned out to help. Among them is Jim Cornish, a heavily bearded farmer and teacher from the Mid-Coast. This project is important to him, he says, because it offers lessons from the past.
The ocean's always going to be here and the wind's always going to blow. We don't know the same thing about fossil fuel or nuclear power or whatever else.
Do I think this is sustainable in that we're going to start moving the bulk of our food around by sail? No, I don't.
But, says UMaine business professor Stephanie Welcomer, the Maine Sail Freight Project does an important job of demonstrating how reliant all food production and distribution systems are on a fossil fuel-based transportation model.
And as we know, with climate change, it's important to think about how we can reduce our reliance on fossil fuels.
And this, she says, involves coming up with new business models for the 21st century.
Rolling home. Rolling home across the sea.
For MPBN News, I'm Tom Porter.
Home to old New England, rolling home, dear land to thee.
And at 12 minutes before 6 o'clock, it's time to check the weather forecast with our meteorologist, Paul Cousins.
Now that the tropical air has been expunged from Maine, temperatures will finally settle to seasonable norms overnight. Isolated mountain and northern showers will vanish this evening. Moonlit skies for most. Ribbons of lowland fog by dawn. 48 to 58 north to south. Tomorrow, simply spectacular. Partly cloudy in the St. John Valley with nearly unlimited sunshine for much of Maine. Mid-70s to low 80s north to south. Cooler at the beaches. Saturday, very nice, still dry. A few clouds will evade the mountains in the county. Mostly sunny skies for the rest of the state. Upper 70s to mid 80s north to south. Cooler at the coast. A subtle front will transit Maine Sunday. Expect variable cloudiness with just a hit or miss shower, perhaps exiting the state by midday. Mid-70s to low 80s. Heat and humidity surge back into Maine early next week. This is meteorologist Paul Cousins for the Maine Public Broadcasting Network.
And that's Maine Things Considered. Thanks today to Ed Morin, Mal Leary, Barbara Caridi, and Susan Sharon. I'm Nora Flaherty.